You might like to open your Bible to the book of Genesis and chapter 1. In being the new year, I thought it might be good. I have to go and remind you of things that you forget, and that we have, and then we forget them. So I thought it would be good to just exercise what has just happened. Time has moved another notch to 2023. So I thought you should have an exercise on time. What is time? What on earth is time? So, Genesis chapter 1, in God's creation, 6 days, here's the fourth day. Genesis 1 and 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Firmament is a great blanket covering everything, covering it. Firmament, that which, like the blue sky, surrounds us. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God saw two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, threw them out into space, galaxies. And God set them in the firmament in the of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, having got that part, so God provided the environment in which the earth is sitting in the middle of, as it were, for all of the wonderful, to be able to experience God's immense wonderfulness, because we can see right through. Remember, we had it on the galaxy. We're located and it's the big galaxy spinning, and here we are, and we're located in the middle of the galaxy here, and you can look. Here we are, and we can look up, and there's nothing blocking us. Nothing blocking us. If somewhere else, we couldn't see. But nothing's blocking us so that we can see into the heavens. Otherwise, our galaxy would cloud over. Something else would be blocking our view. God put us in the place where there's nothing blocking us. Now, and having said that, keeping that in mind, wonderful, wonderful exercise of God's wonderful working, his wonderful person. Therefore, one other place, at least, over to Psalm 90. And here's Moses. Moses did two psalms. Here's one of them. And in Psalm 90, picking up the thought, verse 11, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So, God, in the light of that, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, that we may take our heart, keep our heart. It's causative. To make what? To cause our heart to have wisdom. To cause us to have wisdom, to think. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, exercise that which you know. If you were going to go in Numbers, time, and we did all that, and you were going to go and count to 1,000,000, what's 1,000,000? A million would take you 12 days, 11 days, 11 days and 5.6 7 seconds to count to a million. 11 days, 12 days. And if you're going to count to a billion, it would take you 32 years to count to a billion. Now, 1, 2, 3, 4. 32 years. If you're going to count to a trillion, it takes you 32,000 years. Do you understand? That's why the government has to print it on a machine, because they can't keep up with it. So they just spin off the dollars by the tons. Now, so having keeping that in mind, time, and another thing that will help us, that's numbers. So they're big, 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 big. And we did years ago, I pulled that out, on time, Einstein's paper in the Extrathermic Science and Technology. That's a periodical that was out called JEST, Volume 1, Number 9, 1938. That's when Albert Einstein, in that volume. And quoting, if I may, in that. That's the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton University, back in 1938. Quote, if we knew, this is a question asked Einstein, if we knew, quote, what we were doing, it would not be called research, would it? They said, do you know what you're doing? And Einstein said, if we knew what we were doing, why would we call it research? Because we'd know the answer. We don't know the answers. That's why we're doing it. Okay. Now the point of that points to what? It's a state of mind. The observer, people observing things. And we see things. We see them in our observant. And our observation, our senses, eyes, ears, nose, throat, senses, are observing things. We're observing them. And they play a critical role in what we're responding to, time. So in the process, our senses give us our mind, our senses, how we are perceiving, underline, change. We're perceiving things. And that's time. Time. You can't measure time. So since you can't measure time, clocks are just clocks for us, but you can't measure it. So therefore, here we are looking, and in the process, the person is seeing, sensing, and they play a critical role in our understanding of any given moment in time. They help us understand any given moment in time. So therefore, in the light of that, it's to bring us. So all our senses are perception. We're using the clock and time, etc. We use it, but you can't measure it. But what are we really doing? We're sensing and sensing change. Change. We're perceiving it. Change. Things are moving. And that's what we're really doing. We aren't going by the clock, tick-tock, etc. Now, so therefore, since time can't be measured, it's intangible. You can't do it. You can't measure time. And in the process of time, so it's time is elusive. It doesn't stay in place, and it's infinitesimally small, elusive. To find it, you can't measure it. You can't grab it. The minute I close my hands, I'm going to grab this next second. But it's gone. It's gone. I can't grab it. It's impossible. I can't do it. So, having said that, so here's our time, which is very elusive, infinitesimally small. How do we spell what I just said? Elusive, infinitesimally small. How do I spell that? N-O-W. What I just said. Small. Infinitesimally small. Elusive. We call that now. N-O-W. Right now. Hang on. And so in the process of that. Now, if you go and go and look, take a look at the, if you were up on a hill, and you're up on a good high hill looking into a valley, and you're looking into the valley, you're looking down the hill into all that you see. All that you see, do you see it at once? What you're looking at. Here's the whole thing. Can you see it at once? Sure you can. You see the whole thing, don't you? See the next mountain? You see it. Whoa, there it is. That's the landscape. Landscape. And what are we seeing? We're seeing the whole valley in one shot. Wow. One shot. When are we seeing it? At this very moment, there's landscape and there's timescape. So we aren't looking at a piece of property now, we're looking at time. Time is like this, landscape, landscape. I have a simple illustration. This is, I could have bring a big map, but I have to open it up. So this is a little map of the different states. You can't see it back there, but that's a map of New England. Right there. Right now, you can't do it, but I can. I see Maine, New York, Connecticut. I see them all at once, don't I? I see them all at once. There they are. But they aren't all at once. What am I seeing now? I'm seeing the whole thing now, right? Someone driving a car by can't see what I see. I see the whole thing. Now, that's my now, N-O-W. Driving the car by, that's their now. This is my now. It's the same now, isn't it? The same second. Them and me. What I'm seeing, what they're seeing, is now. Now. So in the process of all of that, as we're looking at now, so do it another different way. Here is the way that you probably think. Here we are sitting, we're having, make believe we're having us having sitting here, and I put under, oh, no, yes, I won't do that. You're sitting on a hot stove, okay? You're sitting on a hot stove. And it's getting hotter. How do you remember what time? Perception and change. How do you perceive the seconds that are going by as you sit in the hot stove? How do you see them? What's your perception of time as you sit in the hot stove cooking your bottom? Right? You got that part? I'm going to move it. And if I could, I'm going to give you a very special banquet. And I give you a seat at the table with all the food sitting there. And you're sitting there. How do you perceive you're sitting there? How do you perceive that? Do you see that as the same as on the stove? Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Same thing. Same now. Same now. But it's how you perceive it. So time on the hot stove is one thing. Time on the in the banquet table is another. It's how you perceive something. And to add, so you get it, and time, so here's time. And we're going to go, and we're sitting at the banquet table, having this big banquet. And we're going to take an astronaut and put him in a special suit and capsule, and we're going to send him at the speed of light, 186,281 miles per second. 186,281 miles per second. And I'm going to send him to Mars. It'll take 4 minutes, approximately, 49 million miles, whatever. So four minutes. So we're having a banquet. We're about to go and get served, and you got your fork in your hand, right? And you say something to the next to you, and then you look around, and 4 minutes go by, and he's on Mars. That's his now. Right now, he's on Mars. What does he say? Where am I now? I'm on Mars. Isn't he? It's the same now. It's not a different now. But for him, his perception is where he is. What's the problem with all evolution and all relativity? What are we doing? Einstein, what are you saying to us? Do you understand? You can't measure time. Time, the increments of time go into here's a moment, a second. But a second, it breaks down to what? A nanosecond. That's 1/1,000,000,000 of a second. And then if you want to go further, at two second. A-T-T-O second is 1/1,000,000,000 of a billion second. 1/1,000,000,000 of a billionth second. You know how fast that is? Fast. That's your computer is doing all this stuff with the speed of light, all of that. We couldn't even, all we're doing, we're getting inundated, buried with everything. Okay. The now is relevant to where you are. When you're looking, here we are sitting here. This is our now. But if I could, when I see your now, this is my now. I'm looking at New England. I see the whole thing. You just see now. True? This is, you can see this, and you could go to Mars. But you're here. What do you need to understand about time? You can't measure it. It's relative. You can't do it. Because it, how do you keep, where do you, it's like the, is it pi 31416 or 31614? Forever. Forever. Never ends. Pi. Okay. Do you understand that? That's time. You can't do it. We only go by time. Time is something for us to talk about and to go by the clock. But it really isn't measured. We use it. It helps us. The sundial was invented and all of those different things. But what? To measure where we are. Noon. The Romans, remember, we just did it in John. From 12, they do 12-hour shifts from midnight to 12 noon. The Jews go from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., as it were. They divide it up 12 hours, 24 hours. So it's time. Time's relevant. Time. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if you can, and I hope that helps you understand a little bit about time. Time, you can't measure it, it's just, we just live in it. And so, having said that, and keeping that in mind, I want you just to, if you don't understand it all, you remember Einstein said, it's research, remember. We don't understand. But it's true. It's true. The more we did it with light. You can't see. If you close your eyes, the reason you can see anything is because of the light. No light, it's dark. There's no colors, there's nothing. That's the light, law of light. You have to have light to see. God is the light of the world to see. In him is no darkness. Now, having said that, and got that on Einstein then, and you can't measure time, there is no time, actually. We use it. But actually, the universe, the whole thing, is one big clock. Boom. One big clock. But now, to see that a little bit, over I can, over to the Gospel of John. And before I do that even, before I do that, over to 02. First John chapter 3. Now, everything is now. Do you understand? Here's my map again. Everything is now. The person living over here in New York, the person living here in Hartford, the person living in here in Boston, it's all now, isn't it? But I see the whole thing. I have all of now. All of this is now, isn't it? You say, well, that's there now in Boston. Ah, but it's the whole now, isn't it? When isn't it now? Do you understand? The whole thing is now. It all happens in increments, moving at the nanoseconds, speed of light, speed, the billionth of a second, moving, all of it. Now, God has no time. Everything is now to God. God sees you before you were ever created. God sees you when you were in your mother's womb. God sees you when you're 10 years old. God sees you when you die. It's all now. It's all now. I need to how many people understand time and now? So therefore, I need to understand that. It helps me. Now, 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 2. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, sons of children of God. Therefore, to the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Because, beloved, what's the next word? Beloved, verse 2, N-O-W. Beloved, now. What's now? Even now. Even this second. Now. What's now? You are a, verse 2, son, a child of God. Now, you see, back here, before God ever created you, he knew you now. He knew you when he put you on earth, now. You are now a child of God. There is no past. If you and I were to disappear from planet Earth, which we're governed by all these thoughts, if we leave planet Earth, what are we going to find? We're going to find, are you going to have a clock? Is there a past? Is there ever a past, ever again? There is no past. It's continually, forever, present. Now. Now. Everything is now. I know it isn't what we normally think. But normally we don't think. How's that? That's what Einstein said. And Einstein only used what? They said, I don't know how they ever did that. He used 2% of his brain. You'll see. What's now? So therefore, now are you sons of God. You see how the Bible's going to help you? With now. How can God see everything? Now. How does God know my tomorrow? How does God know what who's going to do, say, do, think, what? Now. God sees the whole thing at once. Every person, every word, every piece of dust in the universe, all at once. It's a now to God. I live my little now time, but I'm part of now. My now belongs in the now. Understand? My now, this second, belongs in this second. It's all now. Wonderfully, wonderfully now. Do it again. Over to 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, in chapter 6. And you will notice in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For he saith, I have heard of thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, how are you going to explain it to us? Now is the accepted time. When I use time, but every time is but a now. Time is but a now. Today is a now. Looking for tomorrow, which is now. You haven't even got there, but as you move across the map, as you move in time, here you are, here's today, and we move. What are we moving? We're moving into what was already now. All we're doing is finishing now. Now, do you understand? Now is now. So how can God know? How does God? It's a now. And having said all that, trying to say it, I don't understand, but it surely is. And we just sort of, I don't understand, see. But now is now. And the end of verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully now. Romans 13, one other place, I guess, just to see it. Now, even now, Romans chapter 13, picking up. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, watch the now next to it, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And the little word now, the adverb now there, has to do with that which has already happened. Now. Now, you're asleep. Now, to awake out of sleep, now, already. Keep reading. Out of a sleep, for now, the second word now, is even now. The first now is now finished. You are to awake out of sleep now. Don't be awake. Now, this very moment, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, it's nearer, coming across, do you understand? Sliding across. We were here. This is all now. That's why the Lord Jesus, when you read the end, Revelation, he says, behold, I am coming, present tense, quickly. That's how he ends up God's word. I am coming quickly. I am, right now, right now. That's why he said, expect me now. You're looking for my ever presence now. Do you understand? A little. The clock has to go and have to turn 24 more calendar pages. No. That's to us. But that can't be measured. But that's how we think. Now is your salvation nearer. I'm coming now. I'm in the process of coming now. I could see you're all excited about that truth. That's how it is. And how do you think? Well, I think I got to go. I'm not going to go to the doctor till next week. See? But I'm already at the doctor next week and I haven't even got there yet. But I'm moving. What am I moving in? My now. N-O-W. My now. I'm in it. So are you. Now, having said that, over to John 11. Just for a moment. And watch it a different way. John chapter 11 to Martha, verse 25, 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. When are you the resurrection and the life? Right now. I haven't even been crucified yet, but right now I am the resurrection and the life. I am. In my presence now is life. Future, yes, but it's now. All the life, eternal life is this whole thing. Now. But the minute you get saved, it's a now. When you get saved? Now is the day of your salvation. Now you have eternal life. Now you're a child of God. Even though you're here. Because you're part of what? Now. The whole thing. There is no time. So, and therefore, in verse 25, I didn't mean to lose it. In the end, he believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whatsoever, verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How can you die when you get saved now? Now. When does now end? It doesn't. It's the whole thing. Now. It's all done. That's why God said, you ought to be very confident and comfortable and fully assured that you are saved now. But if I take this whole thing out of what we just mumbled out, take it out of the way, then you're sitting there, well, I don't know what next week will be, who knows, see? Because I don't know, and we're going by the clock. You can't go by the clock. Can't go by the clock. We use it. We have to use it. It's our system. Therefore, time is temporal. Don't overvalue it. Don't overvalue any given moment. Why? Because any given moment, remember how we said in the beginning? Here's this moment, right? But I can't capture it. Because I couldn't even move my hand fast enough to stop the clock. Could you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Before I could catch 4, 5, 6. Do you understand? You can't catch it. Can't catch it. So therefore, don't overvalue it. The given moment's a horrible moment. It's only a moment. You understand? It's only an event, a terrible event, a moment that's gone, all gone, just like that. And nothing you could do about it because you can't stop the clock or the calendar and you can't. All you can do is live now in the light of now. which we'll do coming up if I can. Got it? Don't overvalue it. Any given moment could be horrible, but it's only a given moment. So don't overvalue it. And keep it in the light of eternity, in the light of God and God's wonderful grace. And in the process, time does not stand still, it keeps going, and we must be changing. That's the other word, perception and change. Things are changing. Things are changing. That's what they're doing. Your perception of how the hot stove again that we did, and the banquet table, two perceptions of time. Wow. But this same time, just how you perceive it. Change. The hot stove is changing. The banquet situation is changing. Changing. You got it. Helps me to be able to go to the next moment because I'm not in this one. It's all gone. All gone. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so think of it coming and going. Use it a different way, maybe. Before you were ever created, you did all that. Did that with God, but you were there. And God made you a little baby, we just said, and we just did those things. Now, having said that, so here we come, sin, sorrow, suffering, and all the different situations that we face. And there they are, they're everywhere, wherever we are. And we can't get away. So only death frees us from this. Now, death frees us. Death has to, it's looking at the whole landscape. Here's your birth, and here's your death. Tombstone, born, died. Here you are. That's this. You were not created for this. You're created for eternity. You're not a giraffe, and you're not a cantaloupe. You're made for eternity. God made you, soul and spirit. Your body is flesh has to disappear. The wages of sin is death. The body has to go. You're made for eternity. That's what you are. And that's what you have to understand. That's why people say, I'm not going to be afraid of death, and I'm going to be whatever you want to be and trying to think about things. But in the process, in your gut, it's in your, you know it. There's a future appointed unto man wants to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9. Wow. Wow. I know. Tomorrow, I have to go there. That's where I belong. I belong in the now. I have a little spot over here, but I belong there. This is going to disappear, and I'm going to be there, because that's where I belong. That's where it has to be. Now, having said that, so therefore, only God can bring us safely and rightly into tomorrow. Only God can do it. Only God can get us there. There's no other way to get there. And we need to rightly value the time, the times, the gift of time, as we see time in the light of now. I need to see it. I need to understand it so that I can get there. All the rest, you can play philosophical and dreamy and imagination in your mind. But the reality is now. Now. No matter how we cut the cookie. So therefore, don't be indifferent. Don't be overly concerned. A minute is only a minute. That's all. And therefore, don't be a slave to time either. Time is there. I only have so much time. You ever hear that? I'm busy. I only have so much time. The busyness of a barren life. Busy, 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 busy. But never get anywhere. Wow. So therefore, we need to keep God at the center. Why do I need to keep God at the center? Because God is the now. He's the one that did it. God has no beginning and no end. God created me to enjoy Him now. I was born to know Him now, to finish it out now, to finish the whole thing, to be where I belong, to go where I'm going, as it were. You got to keep God at the center. Keep God's word at the center. If you lose the center, then your worries, your fears, your faults, and the things that are heavy on your mind control everything you do. You want to keep God at the centerpiece, in control. Keep your heart. That's why it says in 1 Peter 3 and 15, sanctify the Lord God, remember, in your heart. Set them apart so you don't lose it. So a given time, a given problem, a given anything answers to the center, to God. And God already has now. He already has it finished. He already has you changed into His own image. Now. Someday I'll get something. No, you already have it. Now. Makes a difference. It's not I'm going to have power. Later, I have power. That's what God tells you. You're able to do all things exceeding abundant light of God's in you more than you can ask or think. So God, having said that, so need we find. So therefore, having said that little bit, keep God at the center, as it were. And in your time, every time, any time, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Time is always short. How long does a second last? How long does a minute last? It's always short. No matter how you look at it, it's short, never long. So that's a long time. In the light, it's short. Be encouraged. Everything is short. Even though I've been this way for 10 days, you see. See? I pulled a muscle on my arm here somehow. I don't have them anymore. But when I used to, I pulled something here that I did. And in the process, I'm going to make it go away, but it's still there. Now, boy, it's a long time. It's but a moment. But a moment. Only a moment. Time. Be encouraged. Time is short. Be exercised. Exercise. Think good. Understand good. Thank good. Good. Thank God's goodness. In being exercised in all of the arm and everything else, be exercised. It's short. Whatever you have to do, whatever you're facing, be encouraged, be exercised, be energized. Stay awake, stay alert, keep with it. That's how you get through. You don't get down, depressed, defeated, disappointed, discouraged. Down you go. And don't make it. Time gives you awesome opportunities to grow and to know. There's no question about it. So we have to exercise in God's wonderful way. Therefore, over to Ephesians. Add in chapter 5. Chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, that which you're familiar with. Chapter 5 and in verse 16. 5 and 16 of Ephesians. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And you're living in a time that they don't understand. Everyone's looking for what they can do, how they can do it. Buy up the opportunities. Be encouraged. Be exercised. Be energized. Time is short. Any given moment is going to disappear into the next moment. Nothing's standing still. Everything is in motion. That's awesome, awesome. When you, in it back, a little different, go over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel on chapter 1. I was going to do this in the morning, one of the morning services, but I figured no one will care about this stuff. Who cares about Einstein? I mean, thermodynamics and relativity and space and time. What's that guy talking about anyway? You know, I thought I was supposed to hear the Bible. You know, aren't you supposed to tell about the Bible? I'm trying to help you understand about the Bible. Anyway, Ezekiel. And chapter 1. And you will know, please, over in verse 26. This is here. Remember, everything in Ezekiel, looking, everything is moving. That's wonderful in the light of our subject. Everything is moving. Everything is moving. All of it's moving. There's nothing standing still anywhere. Anything is moving. Dust, satellites, stars, everything. We're going, what, 68,000 miles, I guess, 68,000 miles a minute. 68,000 miles an hour, has to be. An hour, circling the sun. Circling the sun. Right now, we're at the very top. Here's the orbit, 23.5 degrees tilted. Here we are, up at the top. This is winter, and we're up here. The sun's over here. The sun's over here. We're pointed away from it, over here. Here's the sun. So it's winter, see. Down if you're in South America, it's summer, see. But for us, it's winter, so it's going to go over here to spring, over here to summer, summer. And over here, what's happening in the summer? Here's the sun. And here we are, facing the sun. That's why the sun's almost overhead. Wow. Anyway, you don't care about that stuff. You got that? No? It's not where we live. It's our world. Don't you understand the world you live in? It's an awesome thing. And we're spinning around at over 1,000 miles an hour. You'd never know it, would you? Oh, that's a good illustration. Good. Thank you, spinning. If you go on an airplane right now, you go on an airplane, it's assuming you get a seat and your baggage is there and everything. Assume you get on this thing, you get the plane, and you're up there, you're going at 558 miles an hour, 600 maybe, up there and up there, flying around 600 miles an hour, and you're sitting there and having your pretzels and water. Okay, and there you are, pretzels and water, and spinning. Are you conscious that you just passed over the whole state of Connecticut while you drank your water? You have no idea of movement, do you? But you did. When you're sitting at the car going 60 miles an hour, you can sit there calmly and do it, drink your water. But actually you're moving, what, 60 miles an hour. And to prove it, we're going to hit a tree, and you'll know it. When you hit the tree, guess what? You just traveled 60 miles an hour forward into the tree, you see. It's relevant. Relativity. Everything is relevant. You got to weigh it out. What are you doing? What are you trying to understand? See? And if we're sort of dumb about everything, then we just do what we do. And that's why politics has power. Why does politics have power? because people are dull of hearing. They don't understand how the system works. They don't want to understand. They feel they could do nothing. Understandably, there's hardly anything we could do to stop things. In the process of the now, their now is going to disappear to now when they disappear. You say, well, they God lets it all go. Communism and terrible, terrible stuff over there in China and that and elsewhere. Wow. Terrible. Yes, it is. In our own country, it's terrible. What's coming across the border and everything. Terrible things. But it's only now. And it's going to change. That's why God said, listen, don't worry. And like Ecclesiastes, if a man lives 100 years, and he's 100 years old, and he's a wicked man, don't get upset. The young kid dies at 15, trying to do the right thing, and he dies. And the old man at 100 is wicked. God said, don't worry about it. The 100 years is nothing to eternity. Don't even sweat. How come the bad guy wins? Because it's time. It's their time. As you said, you know it. It's their heaven. It's the best they're going to ever have. And if they don't take advantage of it, it's all gone. They'll never have it again. Never again. Forever.